Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
LJ Renee, the dictionary defines preparation as the action or process of making something ready for use or service, or of getting ready for some occasion, test, or duty. It's a state of being prepared. What do you think about preparation? Because that's what I want to talk about.
You know, preparation is when you're on a journey from the Lord, you don't realize that at first that's what's happening in your life. You don't realize that. You don't realize that the trials and tribulations that you're going through, some unfamiliar situation or circumstances that are happening, you just don't realize that God is preparing you for your purpose.
Amen. In James chapter 1, I'm going to read a few verses out of James chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." The part that I really want to focus on is that we need to count it all joy when we fall into divers, which means diverse types of temptations, knowing that the trying of our faith works patience. That lets us know, LJ Renee, that our faith is going to be tried. It's what should be expected and anticipated. It's the norm. When you get tried, we ought not to think it's strange. We ought not to, but we do. That's the first thing we do is we think it's strange, but the Bible says, think it not strange, but we do think it's strange. But he says, count, not only don't think it's strange, but he went on to say, count it all joy. Now, I have gotten to the point where I don't think it's strange as soon as I think about it, but the counting it all joy, I have a little ways to go with counting it all joy.
That's a good point, because when it is occurring or happening, the situation is not always, it's not a joyful situation. It may be a testing of your faith, but you don't look at it at first like that. And I believe that's the reason why you have to go back to God with the situation so that you can have the right attitude to go through it. When you go back to God and say, you know, God, what's going on? This is happening. That is happening. Help me to get through this whole thing. Give me wisdom as to what I'm supposed to do. And oftentimes I refer to Proverbs 2 because it talks about asking for wisdom and understanding. Matter of fact, it says to ask for insight, because it's not always what it looks like on the surface. It's always an underlying purpose in it. If you think about it, when a person is trying to prove gold or purify gold, it is put in the fire. And what actually happens is, once it gets heated, the dross the impurities go to the top, and the jeweler or whatever they call them have to swipe it off and put it back in that fire until it is purified. And that's what God is saying, is that the trying of your faith is like the trying of gold. And then even Job says that he will come forth as pure gold. It means that we are connected to God. We have to go to him in regards to these situations that we face and allow him to walk us through it. Because when we lean to our own understanding,
I like to consider it, and even in light of Joseph's preparation and the things that God, you could pick any person out of the Bible or even any one of us and share your life story, and you will see the preparation that God took us through or is taking us through. First of all, I like Joseph because the Bible says he was a dreamer, and I like to think that God gives me dreams about what he's going to do in my life and the things that he's going to do. But Joseph dreamed some really big dreams, and he made the mistake of sharing it with those who couldn't have it, who did not have any appreciation of what he was saying the Lord was going to do to him. And it was his own brothers that said, you know, you think he shared a dream with them. And basically the interpretation of the dream was that you all are going to bow down before me. And, you know, they said, you know, how arrogant of you to think that we will bow before you. We're not going to bow to you. And he dreamed, the Bible said he dreamed another dream, and it had the same meaning. And he told them again. It wasn't like he didn't get the hint the first time that they didn't appreciate his dream, but it really was in the plan of God. So he told them his second dream, and they really got angry with him. So when an opportunity presented itself for them to do harm, to get rid of this dreamer, the Bible says that they did plot initially to kill him, but God was not, God had something in store for him. So what they did was ended up selling him into slavery into Egypt. And you know, the story is even when he went into slavery into Egypt, he did receive some level of favor from God, but then the Pharaoh's wife tried to come on to him, and he was having none of it. And so she lied on him and said he tried to rape her. Well, you can't be in Pharaoh's house and try to rape Pharaoh's wife and think, but it's really surprising that you even live. He didn't do it, of course, but he was thrown into prison. And even in prison, God still favored him. And the thing that I think that we could take from that is, no matter what stage of his life he was in, God was favoring him all along, but he was walking upright before God.
I think that's a good point.
He walked with integrity. So God needed him to go to the prison, and God needed him to meet the butler and the baker, and God needed him to interpret the dreams for them, and God needed them to forget him when they promised and swore they wouldn't forget him when they got out of jail. So that when the time came that Pharaoh needed someone to interpret a dream that no one else could interpret, then the butler could say, hey, I remember this guy in prison, and he had a gift that could interpret dreams. Maybe you should get him. Now, it was 2 years, I believe, that he had forgotten. He had promised to remember and had forgotten Joseph. And 2 years later, it came to mind because that was the timing of God. Now, we could sit there and be angry that they have looked over you and they have skipped over you and they have walked on you and they have lied on you and they have ridiculed you. But how about you flip that thing around and say, perhaps God is preparing me for things that I cannot handle right now. Perhaps God is working in me the strength and the faith that I need for the place that he's going to take me, because as I am right now, I couldn't handle the place where God's going to put me when he brings me out of the situation.
I think when, you know, you talked about how he ended up getting in that pit, and God used that in, matter of fact, you know, God knew that this would happen. And some people would say, well, God wouldn't allow that, or God wouldn't do that in order for him to get to the end where God knew that eventually that his family was going to have to need some food. And he put him in that situation in order for him to provide food for his family. Now, some people might think that that is not the way that it is done, but God says, you know, I'll take the foolish things and confound the wise.
Amen.
In our situation, sometimes we say, surely God is not in this. And when God really is in it, and I remember the Lord told me one day, the things that you think that I'm not in, I'm in. And the things you think I'm in, I am not in. And so that's the reason why it takes the wisdom of God. And that's the reason why we have to be able to go back to him, because we may mistaken the situation that we're in, and we may call it a cursed place. Like Job said, it probably was better for me not to be born. And maybe some of you are saying this, and is my living in vain? And the reason why you think that is because you cannot see what God is doing in your life. You are recounting the trouble that you're in or have been experiencing, and you're saying, surely this is not the place I should be in. This is not of God, and my life is worthless. When God is saying, no, this is just the path that I'm taking you through, because there are some things that I have to shed off of you. Matter of fact, it even says that sometimes, even when we talked about Moses, he was the Pharaoh's adopted son, but yet he had to flee for his life, and he had to go into the wilderness. He had to be humbled. Even the children of Israel had to be humbled. It only took them, I think, 11 days really to get from where they were when they were delivered, when they crossed over that Red Sea to get to the land of promise. But God, in order to keep them from war, he took them through the wilderness that took them 40 years to get through. Mm. And as a result, there was a generation of people that had to die off because they were too stuck in tradition, too stuck in their own way. So a lot of times we mistaken what God is doing. I could raise my hands and say, it's me, oh Lord, because I've done the same thing. But when you stay connected to God, he's going to make sure that every demon in hell that comes against you, is he going to push them back, and he knows that you're going to get to the place that he has ordained for you. But first, he's got to try you and make you humble, that you will be dependent upon him.
Amen. And he is preparing you because he cares for you.
Yes.
I mean, you would not want to send your children off to a task that they're ill prepared for, or something that will utterly destroy them. So what God does is he matures you through what you go through because he cares for you. He's arranging and rearranging mm-hmm. your life because he's preparing you and training you and tuning you and purging you and pruning you for things that you cannot handle right now. God is preparing me.
Yes.
He's preparing me for something that I cannot handle right now, right now. He's making me ready, ready, just because he cares, he cares. And you know, he's preparing me because he cares. He is maturing me. Yes, he is. Because he cares. Hallelujah. And you know what? The Lord is arranging me. Yes, he is. And not only arranging, but he rearranged my attitude. Yeah, because he cares for me. Yeah, Lord. And you know, I want you to know the Lord is training.
that is a classic song that never grows old. I like that part where he says he's preparing me for something I cannot handle right now. He's preparing me, making me ready just because he cares. He's providing me with what I need to carry out the next matter in my life.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you.
I mean, you'll have it when you get there. You might not have what you need today. Like Moses said, I can't go because I can't speak because I stutter. But by the time he went, he could speak and do all that God had told him to do. And Jeremiah said, I can't go because I'm a child. By the time he went, he was everything God needed him to be. You might not have what you need to have today, but he's getting you ready so that when it comes time for you to need whatever you're lacking, you will have everything you need. He does not call the qualified, but I heard someone say he qualifies those that
yes,
he calls.
That's right. And he even goes along even what we said before, but God chooses the foolish things of the world that he may put to shame them that are wise. When I'm done with you, you're going to know that it's all me.
And that's why the scripture says, when I am weak, then am I
then
strong.
I am
because
strong.
You have depleted your own strength and realized that it's not by your own power and might, but it's by the strength and the spirit of the Lord.
There is a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 2:4. It says, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak. And this is the key, not to please man, but to please God who tests our heart. God will take your heart, that which has been defiled, those who walk in pride, but then all of a sudden they humble themselves before the mighty hand of God and he begins to work in their heart, making them sensitive to other people's needs, putting in them the giftings that he has already laid in them before, but he's causing them to rise up to the surface because he says that my gift that I give to you, they're irrevocable, irrevocable. He said, I'm not going to take them away from you. He said, but I'm going to use them in this appointed time. Why? So that you and the people will know that he is God and beside him, there is none other.
And you know, the Bible says, because sometimes what causes us to stumble is the timing of God.
Mm-hmm.
But Ecclesiastes 3 says there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. There's a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. There's a time for everything. And if you are not where you think you ought to be, perhaps it is not your time. But when it's your time, in due season, God will usher you in to the purpose for which he has saved you and called you, and God will have you to fulfill. If you are seeking his face and desirous to do his will, he will usher you into the place where you will fulfill everything that he has for your life. It might not be today and it might not be tomorrow, but trust in the providence of God and let the preparation of God have its course so that you can be whole and entire and wanting nothing. It's called the trying of your faith. And I thank God that change has to come for us. We have to move from glory to glory, here a little, there a little. It will be hard, but it is necessary. So change in our life is hard, but change is necessary that we might grow and mature and develop into that which God would have for us. You might not be what you want to be. You probably thought by now in your life, you would be married. You would own a home. You would have this and that and the other. You thought by this point in your life, you would be pastoring a church or you would be praise leader or whatever your aspirations are, but it might not have happened by this point in your life. But don't you give up on God, because God has never given up on you. If God has spoken into your spirit, given you a dream or a vision, you might be sweltering in the bottom of a pit in your Egypt land and the dream is still true. You might be sitting in the dungeon or the prison of the Pharaoh because his wife has lied on you, but the dream is still true. The butler might have forgotten to remember you even after you've done everything you could to care for them and to tend to them, but God has still not forgotten you. The dream is still true. Whatever God said to you, it is still true. He guards his word to perform it. Not one dot of an I or cross of a T guarantee of the word of God has ever fallen to the ground unfulfilled. He said, all of heaven and earth will pass away before my word will fail. And then the other scripture that we love so dearly, he said, I have exalted my word above my name. I love the name of Jesus, but even above his name, he has placed his word. He is so faithful to do what he said that even above his name is who he is. I will do what I said. I have exalted my word above my name. I guard my word to perform it. I have never spoken to you a thing, promised you a thing that will not come to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away before my word would fall to the ground unfulfilled. If God said it, he will do it. And if he spoke it, he will bring it to pass. If you have a promise from God, you can bank on it.
My God, that is so powerful. And that is it. We have to know that God is able. Not only is he able, but if he spoke the word, he's going to perform it. And there's no demon in hell that's going to be able to take that word and turn it back on God. He said, there's no way. He said, who can reverse my plan? Who can advise me as to what I should do? He said, there's no one that can do that. In Isaiah 40, oh God, I know you all remember this one. It says, has thou not known? Has thou not heard? The everlasting God, Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is there weary. It might seem a long time for you, but it's not a long time for me. He said, I don't get wearied. He says, I'm the one that's going to give you strength. And it says, and to him that have no might, he increases strength. So if you're in this trial and if you're in this journey and you feel like you're getting wearied and you feel like you're about ready to faint, go to the Lord and repeat that scripture back to him and say, Lord, increase my strength that I may be able to stand. And it says, even the youth shall faint and be wearied. And he says, and the young men shall utterly fall without the strength of God. I don't care who you are, you are going to faint. You're going to grow weary. And he says this, he says, but they that wait for Jehovah shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. When an eagle mounts up, that means he's getting ready to fly. And you know, it's time to get ready to fly. This says mount up. It means to get ready. They that wait upon the Lord, he said, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Like the eagle, when he gets ready to fly, he is mounting up. He's fluttering his wings, and God is stirring up a wind to carry you through this whole situation that you may know that he is still who he say he is. I believe God is telling someone out there, get ready. It is time for you to fly. And so I'm just encouraging you right now. You might feel weary. You know, David even felt weary one time. He says, listen, if it had not been for you, Lord, he said, I would have fainted. Now, how many Christians would admit that they're, you know, following the Lord? And he says, but you know, to tell the truth, I would have fainted if I had not believed. That's right. I would have given up.
So you're not the first person that ever thought of giving up. You're not the first person that ever thought of throwing in
the towel. All you got to do is believe to see.
Just believe to see the goodness of God.
My Lord.
And remember, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Yes.
Look to the Lord, and his strength will always be your guide. I mean, you don't have to fear what other men fear, because God is your strength. And he has also said and given you the assurance that as you go through difficulties and as your faith is being tried, he said, my grace is sufficient for you.
Yes, he did.
For my power is made perfect in your weakness. So whatever you're going through, no matter how much grace you need, I mean, you might need a little bit, it's sufficient. You might need a whole lot, it's sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Whatever you need, he'll supply it for you. And when you are weak, he said, my strength, my power is made perfect when you are weak, because you are depleted of everything about you. It's no longer I, but the Christ that dwells in me.
And I'm telling you, you know what? When you said that, I'm reminded of when the Lord had told me, my grace is sufficient. I did not want to hear that, because I needed you right now. I was looking upon you to come in like the Calvary in the last minute, in the last hour. And when the Lord spoke to me, he says, but my grace is sufficient. I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to hear, here I come, baby. I'm getting ready to slay all of them for you. But he didn't. And he said, endure hardness as a good soldier. Now, you know, I didn't want to hear that. But what he was saying, listen, I'm preparing you. This is not going to be the last time you going through this. He said, but I am preparing you. And when I heard that, I didn't even yet realize that he was saying, I'm preparing you. But all I know what he was saying, you're going to go through this. And then what he began to show me, he says, but I'm going to give you the grace to go through it. And when I had to go through that particular situation, and when everybody was talking around me, when I had to sit in the midst of my enemies, it was like grace was sitting on my lap. And even when they were talking about me, I know they were wondering, how come she's not saying anything, you know? But it was God's grace. I had to go through it.
When the scripture says my grace is sufficient, when we're talking about God saying endure hardness as a good soldier, when we're quoting the scripture that the trying of your faith, what we are saying is that you are going to go through. So you've been praying for deliverance and God to get you out. Sometimes you got to go through.
Yes, you do.
Sometimes you got to tough it out. And I just believe that God wouldn't to put these scriptures in our spirit if he didn't want you to know that you've got to go through, but endure hardness as a good soldier and know that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver you out of how
will.
Many of them?
All of them. You know what? Even what he said about that, he said, what soldier would engage in and mix itself with the affairs of the world? See, sometimes we have too much of the world in us, and God has to begin to show us that you are not like the world. Matter of fact, he told Israel, he said that there should be a distinction between you and your enemies. But what you have done is that you have mixed yourself with these other nations who have taken these idols, and now they have drawn you away from me. You have become like them, and the people around you can't even tell if you're a Christian or you are in the world.
And I think that we are about out of time, LJ Renee. That gets to what we need to pick up on next week. And that is, when God is preparing you, there's something that he does with each and every person that you read in the Bible. He isolates them. That's called sanctification.
He brings them
out. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. And he said, there
Royal
ought to be a
priesthood.
Difference between righteousness and unrighteousness, between holiness and unholiness. So next week, let's pick up there and talk about how God brings us out from where we are, that he might isolate or sanctify us for the use of his glory.
Amen.
That we might hear his voice.
Yes.
Because we have taken too much of the world, but God will steal our spirit and call us out from among them, that we might hear what thus saith the Lord. What does the Lord say?
Amen.
Dear God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this word. We thank you for the joy that we feel in our heart. We thank you, God. It is not easy, but it is necessary that we go through, that the trying of our faith would have its perfect work in us, that you, God, would bless us to endure hardness as a good soldier, that we would remember that you are faithful. Even when we are unfaithful, you remain faithful. We thank you for the promises that you have left on record for us, God, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver us out of them all. We thank you for the promise that by this we know that you favor us, because you do not allow our enemies to triumph over us. We thank you that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous can run into it and be safe. We thank you, God, for the precious promises that you have left on record. Now, dear God, we bless the name of our Lord, and we glorify you, for the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God, I thank you that you watched over me, protected me, and kept me, that you shielded me, God. I thank you that everywhere my feet have walked, God, you have made the path plain before me. I thank you that you have not only prepared me, but everything that I was to go into, you prepared the situation, you prepared the atmosphere. I thank you, dear God, you prepared every person I was to encounter. You prepare not only me, but everything I will encounter. Jesus. You prepare me for things I cannot handle, things I cannot deal with right now. You prune me and you make me, you mature me. And Father, you develop me, and I thank you.
Yes,
it
Lord.
Might not be easy, but it is necessary.
Yes.
And may I, with everything that is
oh,
within
God.
Me, say like the Lord Jesus said, not my will, but thy will, O Lord, be done in me.
No more Jesus.
I need just a little more.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.